It is your founding father, Alex Cooper.
I literally cannot believe where I am right now. I'm like shaking. Too many memories. Dude, I'm in Boston. I just got off a plane from LA. And I cannot believe, I didn't understand where they booked the hotel, you guys. The amount of sex that I've had. I'm just kidding, but this is really where I perfected the Gluck Gluck, so just be grateful. Okay, let's go inside. I'm dying.
Thank you.
Oh my god.
When is the last time you were here?
Okay, the last time I was here was I think like literally 5 years ago. So this is like a bar that is giving me serious, I wish I could say who, so who's now, that is the first place I ever went and met him, and I really was like to my friend, like, you have to have sex with him, he's so hot. That's where it all happened. The memories that I have from this place are like shocking. Like, I feel like I'm like regressing, and I feel like I'm almost back in college right now. Isn't this fucking sick? It's so cool. Yeah, like me in college, I could never, like, I was so out of my league here. I have so much to say. Lauren just texted me. Lauren's in the room right now. Everyone's probably like, Lauren's always with you. We cannot separate. Anytime I'm traveling, I'm like, how is she not gonna meet me? Because she's also on the East Coast. She just texted me saying, I feel like I'm waiting for Santa to come down the chimney. What? Jordan, how are you doing?
Fabulous.
She's the real Santa.
She is the real Santa with the goodies. You guys don't understand the feeling I have right now. It makes me want to like cry. Like nostalgia that's overflowing in my body. Like I don't know how to begin. Sexy!
I wasn't looking through the peephole waiting for you.
Literally the memories.
In this place?
Lauren.
Have you had sex in here?
I literally said this is where the Gluck Gluck like was perfected. I remember I encountered my first curved penis. We have to talk.
Oh, like, I literally had a dream about a curved penis the other night, and I was like, thank God, penis is not curved.
No, neither is Matt. No, and this is
no. I have a nightmare. I have a reoccurring nightmare that I'm giving a blowjob, and the curve hooks up under my mouth, and I'm like, I'm not bad. It's your penis.
Wait, did you ever fucking die with a
curve? In high school. I probably can't say that.
No. Oh my god. They thought that Henry and Bruce were coming.
I know. We put the dog beds over there and the dog bowls. Oh, I like the contrast, Jordan.
I know, right?
Guys, it looks like we're making a porno.
It literally looks like we're making a porno. Like, it's like concerning. I feel like we should just podcast. And like, our food will get here.
And we can eat chicken fingers in bed.
Should we? Should we just like start podcasting?
Yeah.
Let's sit down.
This episode is presented by Sparkling Ice. Turn up summer with Sparkling Ice. They have over 17 anything but subtle flavors, all made with zero sugar and packed with vitamins and antioxidants. Iced tea and lemonade, strawberry watermelon, tropical punch, peach nectarine. Yum. Crank up the flavor. Sparkling Ice. Anything but subtle. This episode is brought to you by new Garnier Fructis hair filler with vitamin C, G. Many things can damage your hair, like heat styling and bleaching, but the all new Garnier Fructis hair filler systems can reverse up to 1 year of damage to your hair smoothness in just one use, giving you up to 79% stronger hair and up to 4 times less breakage. And all Garnier products are approved by Cruelty Free International under the Leaping Bunny program. New Garnier Fructis hair filler, pre-shampoo, shampoo, conditioner, and serum are available now on Amazon and at Walmart, Target, Ulta, Drug, and select grocery stores. Learn more at GarnierUSA.com. This episode is brought to you by eBay. You know real when you get it, right, Daddy Gang? It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. So ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms. Tap the banner to learn more.
We're currently in Boston. I just landed. Lauren landed like 30 minutes before me.
Yeah.
And I am in my feels right now. To give anyone context that's new here, I went to school in Boston. I went to Boston University. And I had a lot of love for Boston and then a lot of, not hate, but like you go through shit, yeah. You know? And then you're like, oh my God, I need to get away from the place that I went to college. And when I left Boston, I haven't been back since. And so the
How long?
How long ago did we graduate?
6 years.
Oh my God, we're getting so old.
By that, like the fact that you have not been back to Boston.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say the fact that it's been 6 years since we graduated college and we're old as fuck.
Shook by that too.
So I haven't been back, and I landed, and everything just came crashing back into my mind of memories, and like even just the airport. I know that sounds dumb, but like it just feels very nostalgic. So we're currently staying at this hotel, which we're going to get into because my God, the things I've done in this hotel, specifically this room. No, I asked for room 501 because my God, the things that have gone down in here. So we're here. We have people in the room right now. We're eating chicken fingers. We have spicy margs. Let's cheers.
Mine's not spicy. I don't do spicy.
Okay. So let's just start with story time. So we are currently at the Liberty Hotel in Boston. So when I was in school, and you don't know these stories. Mm-mm. As a college kid, this was like the coolest hotel to go to because there's this bar downstairs called the Alibi. And also to give you context, this hotel used to be, I think, like a jail that's turned into what looks like almost this like haunted cool hotel look. Like it's almost like a club vibe.
I walked in and I was like, oh, this is fun. And like I was checking in, they're like, okay, so you know tonight there's a DJ in the main level, there's a DJ in the bottom level. I'm like, we got two DJs going? Yes. Like I'm thriving.
Yes. So every single time, whether it was like a rich dude or an athlete or whoever, people would stay here. And obviously as like a broke college kid, we would always want to come here because there would be rich dudes here and it was like a dope vibe of a bar and we would get fucked up and then it would be fun if like a guy had a hotel room because we could like after party there. So when I think of this hotel, the one story that comes to mind is my roommate and I don't want to say her name because she has a job. So we go to a day party at this like gem bar place. I don't know. It's like a day club thing. And we get there and there is these two Patriots players there. I had been on a date with one of them at one point. And at the time, let me rewind. So I go on this date with this Patriots player in the summer and he starts
to year of college.
I'm going into my sophomore year on this date. So I'm like a fucking baby.
But you're not 21 yet.
I'm not even 21. Okay. I have my sister's ID. I'm Catherine Cooper. So I will never forget. He DMs me and my friend Bridget is driving her car on and she's like a huge Boston girl. And
who's calling me?
Matt, it's not the time. I'm telling stories of my exes. Okay, so
Sorry, Matt.
Hold on. So we're driving and I will never forget this guy. I know I'm swerving, but it will all make sense. So Bridget's driving and I tell her who DMs me and she quite literally almost swerves off the road because like as a Boston girl, like this guy was like Tom Brady and then the other person like
we'll bleep this out was
Yeah. And he was so fucking hot at the time and like whatever. So he DMs me and he asks me out on a date. And I didn't know he was joking because I don't know this man, asks me if I want to go bowling. Okay. So in my mind, like I am so trying hard to be like, how do I look hot to go bowling? And in my mind, I'm like, I'm going out with him. Like I need to be wearing heels and like look fucking hot. But I put on Jesus sandals from Target. Okay.
Why?
Because I'm like, I was trying to be like chill girl. And at the time.
What are Jesus sandals?
You know how.
Like the leather, like cross, yes, cross, yes. Cross, cross, cross.
But at the time they had like some jewels on them. Like that's how bad it was. But also like they were kind of in back in the time. Okay. So I put on my Jesus sandals. I remember I put on skinny black jeans. And then I put on this like Brandy Melville like
bodysuit.
No, maroon little like flowy pebble on
top. No.
Because I was trying Also, mind you, watch, which is so weird in my mind. Like, you guys, I was a fucking whore in college in the way that I dressed.
Look, like, I was going to say, like, you dressed really slutty, but that sounds just bad.
Bad.
Peplum?
I don't know. This is what was happening. Most of my girls weren't around while I was getting ready. And it was just like me, Bridget, my one friend Lauren, and like Rachel. And everyone was like, maybe it's good if you show that you don't care. Like, do you know what I mean? A little. Like,
with,
I don't.
Like a peplum and Jesus.
So the point is, I remember he picks me up. And you guys, like, I'm in college. I have nothing to my name. And this man drives up. And all of my college roommates were, like, renting. We have, like, an apartment. Are looking out the window. And his Porsche rolls up. And it's, like, all blacked out. And I'm, like, jizzing my fucking pants. I can't believe this guy's taking me on a date. I get in this fucking car. And I'm literally, like, oh, my God. So, like, where do you go bowling in, like, Boston? Like, where are we going? And he literally looked at me. He was, like, what? And I was, like, where are we going to bowl? And he was like, we're going to Icon, the club. I'm not taking you bowling. That was a joke. I'm in Jesus sandals with about to roll up to the fucking club in Jesus sandals and a peplum top. And I look so bad. I've never looked worse. And I'm going to Icon,
the club. Do you change?
No, we're already driving this little Batmobile.
Do they even let you into a club in not heels?
Lauren, yes. So we roll up to Icon, and I remember everyone's like freaking out, and like this is the point where like I was such a cleat chaser. I was like, I hope someone gets me a picture. I'm like, I'm like leaning into him.
Like you're like, oh, right there.
No, literally, I'm like, I need the clout. So we go to Icon. I have never felt uglier. I'm disgusting, whatever. So this is the only time. And so afterwards, thank God, he actually wanted to go. He asked me to go back to his hotel room and hook up with him. I'm like, oh, no, no. Because I was like, I need to see if he'll ever, like, invite me back. Because I need to, see, like, I need, you would think I would actually would have fucked him to be like, I'm more than just the Jesus sandals and the peplum top.
Yeah.
But something in me that night
was
like, I'm going home. There's a freak in the peplum.
Yeah.
So I gave up and I go home that night. And I did hear from him again, which was great. And I feel like it's just because, like, everyone fucks him. I didn't fuck him. But really, I was just feeling really insecure about my situation. And I like purposely didn't shave that night because I was like, I will not fuck him. So fast forward to, that's the only time I ever see him in person. The next time I see him is we go to Gem. So I go with my roommate and we start day drinking, and he shows up with one of his teammates, and immediately I'm like, I have a bodysuit in and I have socks in. You know how I have that trick?
Yeah.
I don't do it anymore, but I used to put socks in my bra and my tits look triple fucking D. Like, you couldn't fuck with me, and they were, you know, they're looking real.
Were you wearing heels or Jesus
sandals? I was wearing heels. I was making my pants look great. I looked great. Like, I was looking finally great. I had my extensions locked in. Like, I was, like, looking good. I was orange as fuck.
Redemption time.
I got my spray tan, my fake hair, my fake tits. I'm ready to go. So he rolls up to Jem with his roommate, or his teammate, and I'm with my roommate, and we're like, this is fucking perfect. We start partying with them, and after Jem, we're so fucked up.
Did you approach him, or did he approach you?
That was interesting. So he had like a corner area that they brought him to, and I was like I wasn't doing this, but I was like, we need to get over there. So I start like moving my way with my roommate, and it was a slow balance of not looking desperate, but I just needed to get eye contact with him.
Yeah.
And he's never seen me look this good, so I knew
he didn't recognize you.
He's like, literally, who's that? Oh, it's the fucking Amish bitch that I took on a date and I didn't even get a fucking kiss.
When you went on the date with him, did you do anything?
Oh, we did make out. It was a good make out. It was in the car. It was a goodbye kiss. Mm. He drove me home.
So like, no hands, anything?
No hands. I literally couldn't look at myself. Like, I was so mortified. And my friends can't. Literally, my friends, I walk in the door and my friends are like, what happened? And I rip off my sandals. I'm like, we didn't go fucking bowling. We went to Icon. And everyone's like, oh, you fucked up. Like, and most of my friends.
I would die. Like, I don't know if I would go.
Imagine he just rolls away from the house and I'm literally looking down and I didn't even have my toes painted, really. Like, it was bad.
Oh, because you thought you were going to put on bowling shoes.
I thought I was strapping into the bowling shoes. The whole situation was actually so bad. And I will say, like, I would say in college, like, I was really with it. And that was one of the biggest lapses in judgment I ever had.
You would never make that mistake. Like,
ever.
Like, post-college, Alex working New York City streets.
Never
make that mistake.
Never. I would rather be late an hour to make sure I look so fucking
good. No, they would have said, I'm taking you bowling. And you would have said, what the fuck, you a loser? No, you're not. Take me somewhere better.
I would said, no, we're going to like Nobu and thank you. Here I was like, okay, I'll go bowling with you. So finally, we didn't go bowling. I go to Icon, and I will never forget. I have to show you a picture. Someone took a photo of him. I do still have to this day, and I'm in the background.
Drop the photo.
I literally am in the, we can blur his face, and I'm actually, we have to. I'm in the fucking background of this photo, and I'm such a loser, whatever. So fast forward, now I'm at the day club. I see him, and I walk over, and I could tell he's like, wait, is that Alex? And he's like shocked that I look good, you know? My roommate and I get into their little area. We start partying. We're drinking. And now it's about like 8 o'clock because we've been out. Then we meet up with them, whatever. And so then we are with them and they say, do you want to go to the Liberty Hotel, which is where we are now? We are going to go and keep the party going. And my roommate and I are like, absolutely, let's go. And our other two soccer teammates that were there with us were like, you guys do know we have a 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. And we're
practice?
Like, practice. Not full practice. And we're like, we'll be fine. Because when you go for a day drink, you think you're going to be asleep by like at least 11 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
So my roommate and I, we go, we start partying with them down at Alibi, which is the bar here. We're getting so fucked up. And finally, I don't know how we did this long, but it ends up being like 2, 3 a.m. We come back to his room and my roommate goes into the shower with who's ex-boyfriend.
Oh, yes. You guys are all having an orgy.
So
we did that too with and his friend, and we went back to his room and we didn't have an orgy, but I hooked up with in the bathroom, and then you had sex with in the bed.
I did forget about that.
The athletes, they just like to stay together and then be like, I'll take the bathroom, you take the bed.
No, you're so right. They like to be in packs. I don't know what it is. You're so fucking right.
I was like, that's so weird.
No,
you
you're right.
That. And I was like, we did it!
So she goes into the bathroom and I hear the shower turn on. And I'm like, okay, like, get it, girl. And so he and I are on the bed. And there's like one of their random friends is like on the couch, like doing drugs or something. And I'm like, whatever. So I proceed to whip out this man's penis because I'm so fucked up, and I proceed to there's a guy over there fully watching me just give head, and I begin to perfect the Gluck Gluck 9000 right here in the Liberty Hotel. Okay, you guys, this man has a gorgeous penis. Everything's going great. I'm hearing my roommate in there absolutely having sex in the shower. I'm like, we are locked and loaded. Finally, we just continue to all hook up. I didn't have sex with him that night, but we're having the most fun. They come out butt naked. They're like, let's have more drinks. We're all fucked
up. What time is it at this point?
All of a sudden, I look at my phone and I'm like, roommate, it is fucking 4:30 in the morning. Okay. We had a 6 a.m. So to give you guys
that sounds terrifying.
No. Okay.
That's giving me scaries, you just saying that.
Hey, imagine we're here. It's 4:30 in the morning.
Because your coach is like intense,
My
right?
coach was the biggest fucking cunt. And on top of it, which I'll get to, she had like such a specific fixation on me. That, like if I changed my hairstyle one day, she'd be like, did you do something different with your hair, Alex? Like, so creepy that I knew, like, she was always paying attention to me.
Like,
so
if you were hungover, she was gonna be like,
she was gonna know. So I look at my phone and
you weren't even gonna be hungover. You were gonna be still drunk.
We hadn't gone to bed. So I grab my roommate. I'm like, put your clothes on. It's 4:30. And so let me also give context. My roommate and I were never the goody two shoes on the team. Like, we were good at soccer, but we weren't going to always be the first ones to practice, right? Like, we're not the ones like in the locker room, like, we're ready, coach. So I'm like, we have to get to the locker room first. We can't go back to our dorms because the girls will know we were out all night.
Will the girls be pissed?
The girls would be pissed only because, which I can say now, and they would be like, yeah, we don't care. The girls would be pissed because
they
wanted to be there. Like, they wanted to be with us in certain moments. And
they have ratted you out?
No, they just would have, like, maybe the upperclassmen would have, because I think what started to happen was because we were underclassmen and we were infiltrating this, like, scene in Boston, some of the upperclassmen, I think, were definitely, like, a little jealous,
what the fuck are you doing?
Wait, like, why are you guys getting to go party with the Patriots? And, like, we're in Alston at a frat party. And, like, I understood, like, it just started happening. And also, you can relate to this. Any girl can fucking relate to this. you're like, we can't have more than two girls here. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, if we're taking one, I'm taking my roommate. If we have like a gaggle of girls,
it's you can't bring the whole team.
You can't. You can't. So my roommate and I get into the Uber and we're both like, holy fuck. Like, I think I'm not fucked up anymore, but like, we have to go to practice. We roll up and we take our heels off and we sprint across Nickerson Field, which is where our practice is. And it finally hits 5 o'clock. We rush into the locker room. No one's there yet. We're the first people in our locker room.
Do you have like clothes there and stuff?
All of our uniforms are in our lockers.
Do you have to practice in uniform?
Yeah, you put practice uniforms on for every practice. So we both are splashing our faces with water, wiping all of our makeup off. I think she gets in the shower. I was like, I can't get in the shower because everyone knows I would never have wet hair in the morning. Like, that's fucking psychotic. And so I... Like,
that's
I,
a dead giveaway.
Like, I know everyone would be like, what the fuck did you do, bitch? Like, you were just having sex. So then we put on our outfits and we just sit in our lockers and slowly... The captains walk in and we're literally like...
And they're like, what the fuck is happening? Why are you the first ones here?
They look at us and are like, why are you two here so early? And we're like, no! And we're both just like... Oh my God, like we couldn't sleep. Like we were just ready for this 6 a.m.
Oh my gosh, it's giving me like college nostalgia. I want to go back.
Like, no, and it was so fun again because like the least try hard when it came to like, I didn't give a fuck if like my coach knew I was first or last. Like I didn't care in terms of that. I'm like, I'm going to be good on the field, but like I wasn't goody two shoes vibe.
Yeah.
So all of them were like, something's wrong. Like, why are you guys here? And especially my roommate who was even at times more of a degenerate. They're like, the two of you are up to something. So, you know, when you're hungover or fucked up, and you have to almost channel that kind of energy where you're like, I either have to focus so fucking hard that you end up
were
like...
Were you still drunk?
I was not drunk. I just felt that feeling in if you like haven't gone to sleep where it almost feels like everything's so bright and you're almost like having a hard time keeping up with what's going on because you're like... My eyes almost feel like crusted, like
bloodshot, probably
bloodshot, and they like need to close. And I was like, I'm ready for a 6 a.m. And to people that didn't play sports,
why was it 6 a.m.?
6 a.m.
Like, what was the because purpose it was, behind that?
So it was spring season, and most people think spring season's easier because that's our off season. It's worse because 6 a.m. it's like where you go to die. You're doing fitness, you're doing sprints, you're doing like
so you're just like training.
Awful. So we go out and I love her so much because my poor roommate, we went complete opposite directions because my coach was such a fucking psychopath about me. I was like, somehow I channeled within my body, like, and I had the best practice of my life. It was almost like I was overcorrecting so much that everyone was like, damn, Cooper, like you're really like I was scoring and I was running and I was like, I was almost like an adrenaline rush and I was going to crash. My poor roommate. She literally in the middle of practice, like she is whiffing balls, like she's like missing everything. And she was one of the fastest on the team, losing in the race is like awful. And finally she leaves practice in the middle of practice and says she has to go to the bathroom. And all the seniors are fucking pissed because they can tell.
That she's hungover?
They can tell. They can tell something's up.
They don't think she's hungover. They don't think she's sick?
No, they fucking know. They know we were fucking out. And so she goes to the locker room.
Are you associated with her?
Yes, but they're also like, Cooper's lights out right now. Why is she scoring all these goals? Like, we want to yell at her. Like, I think that was a lot of it was like, they always wanted to yell at me, but like, I was good. So they were like, oh, fuck you. But like, don't do it again. My roommate was like struggling. I'm like, I felt so bad for her. And like, her hair started to look like really, like, it just looked bad. She goes to the locker room. And the poor girl is gone for 15 minutes. And I'm trying to cover her from like, oh, yeah, she said she was having like bad diarrhea. Like, I don't know what's going on. Finally, she comes back and she tells everyone, like, sorry, like, I have explosive diarrhea. Like, it's like a girls' soccer team. She says it in like earshot of my coach. So my coach thinks she has explosive diarrhea. And she comes over to me and she's like, Alex, I just went into the locker room.
And puked my brains out.
I puked my brains out. And then I just laid on the carpet of the locker room and took a quick 15-minute nap. And then she comes back out to practice. She was struggling so fucking hard.
If she got caught, is that something that you kicked off the team?
No, we would get a punishment, which my coach always did to the two of us. Like, there were girls on our soccer team that got caught like over drinking and they got sent to the hospital and had to get their stomach pumped. And my roommate and I would like forget our binder to a meeting and she was like, 10-mile bike. And we're like, the girl that just got her stomach pumped, didn't she just got like a slap on the wrist? And she like hated us so much. And so we would get a 10-mile bike and then she would progressively make it worse where she was like, she would take away the seat on the bike and it was an Aerodyne bike.
What?
Where you could do arms and legs. So that was like my first experience with the Liberty. And to wrap it up, that night was one of the beginnings, essentially, of my relationship with the Liberty Hotel. Like,
I was going to say with the greater Boston sports teams.
No, actually, like, all of a sudden, my roommate and I would just always come here, and we would always find ourselves in truly, like, the most fun situations. I was so broke. I had no money. I was in college, and I just look back, and I'm like, it was so cool to go to school in a city where I was able to do these things and meet these type of people. And I was just, it was just so cool to be able to like come to these places. Like we would literally split the Uber and be like, we couldn't afford one of those drinks. Like, so we're just like hoping to run into people, and almost every single time we would run into someone. And then that was the other time I was going to tell you about the curved dick, but we can move on from that. But I encountered, it was one of the hottest hockey players I've ever hooked up with.
Who? Oh.
He's so hot. And I remember my roommate,
he's a curved dick,
he's the largest curved dick I've ever come across.
Like thick and curved or
both?
Skinny and curved.
Both.
Because I encountered a skinny and curved once, and I think a thick and curved is better, because a skinny and curved, it's like close your eyes with me, open your mouth, lean forward like you're gonna go down, and imagine like a little curved pencil going down your throat. Like, okay, now I'm ready. Now close your eyes and imagine a curved banana going down your throat. That feels better, right?
Okay, but let me tell you.
Tell me.
Have
about
you ever, okay, sucking dick? I agree. Have you ever had sex with
yes,
a thick
yes.
curved?
And then this way, the curve is against you and you're like,
Lauren, I love that you remember this, because let me be so clear. The guy that I only sucked his curved penis, and it was definitely difficult for my throat. I went and met up with this guy when I then lived in New York, and I had sex with him, and he lied, and he said that he was broken up with his girlfriend, and now they're married, and he fully cheated on her with me.
Can we just put a lot of beeps and beeps and
I guess
beeps
we're going to have to. I'm sorry. We're just saying athletes' names. Half of them, you guys
don't care.
No,
this is
doesn't
pretty
matter.
Juicy, though.
Okay, so I experienced, and I will never forget, because my roommate and I were really good with each other, where we would always just whore each other out. And so she was like, I really want to get invited. We were like, we really want to get invited to their party tomorrow night, but it's like getting late tonight. We could tell they were just like after partying in the room. And she was like, we were leaving. And he
so
like,
you're trying to get invited to the hotel
yeah,
after party.
Yeah. And so he like randomly walked into his room, and my roommate pulls me in, and she was like, you need to go in there and you need to suck his dick, and you need to do whatever you do with that fucking mouth that's going to get us invited to that party tomorrow. And I said, on it. And I go in, he's just randomly like coming out of the bathroom, and I'm like, get down. And I push him down on the bed, and I rip his fucking pants off, and lo and behold, it is the largest curved penis I've ever seen in my
Can
life.
Show me the girth.
This, I would say like this.
That's pretty thick,
this
just
thick,
to begin with.
This thick. And I'm not, it was, I think to this day, it was the biggest penis I've ever encountered. And it was curved. And it wasn't
Can you
just,
deep
like,
throat a curved penis?
So I did that night because I needed to get to that party. Lauren, when I tell you like I was clocked out, you know, like I was ready to go home. And like,
yeah.
when I tell you like, my roommate and I
Your
were
Your shift
all,
had ended that night.
My shift was over. Like, my shift was over. I did what, I got us in the room. We were schmoozing. So we're walking out. We're basically saying bye. And I go in and I push him down. And again, I was clocked out. I wasn't thinking. I had never encountered something like this. I'd never seen something of this girth and this magnitude and this curvature.
Curvature.
So I was like, damn, my work's cut out for me. Like, this is not what I expected. So I did it. And what I did is like, I did more of that like, down, like you just kind of have to come up,
I guess.
And
so
like,
the curvature, it's so easy to snag a tooth. Don't you agree though? Like a little like nick, and it's like, that's nothing to do with my skills. Fix the angle of your penis.
You want to like almost like crack it like a broken nose. Yeah. So there was like a lot of sucking dick, there was a lot of gluck glucking, and just like a lot of perfecting the craft, and where Caller Daddy really was like beginning to brew. And that was why I'm feeling very nostalgic, and I'm happy to be at the Liberty Hotel, which I just realized, I'm not sure the Liberty Hotel is going to be like, oh my God, tag us in this, as I'm just being like, I got railed here, I sucked dick here, we're loving it. They're like, nope.
If you're looking to have a steamy honeymoon, the Liberty Hotel is your place. The vibes, the sex, the dicks are immaculate. Come on over to the Liberty Hotel.
And if you're just looking for a rich fucking guy, the Liberty Hotel. Oh, cheers.
Cheers.
Okay, so that's my experience in Boston. Is this your first? This isn't your first. We've
my
been-
first rodeo in Boston?
I was about to say.
Are you really asking me that?
I just looked Lauren in the eyes, and as I was about to say, is this your first? And it was almost like that That's So Raven moment of like, I just remembered it all.
Yeah.
We've done Boston together once. Mm-hmm. Why don't you
one
tell
night.
The story?
Why don't you tell the story? Begin it.
It was the summer between junior and senior year of college.
Yeah.
And
that's when you and I really, like, so freshman year and sophomore year, you and I were
of college.
Of college. Lauren and I were doing our own things in college. Lauren was at Tulane. I was in Boston.
We were like, very far apart.
Very far apart.
And you were very deep in soccer.
And you were very deep in sorority life. No? No, you're... Oh, oh.
Well, that just makes you sound like a loser.
Wait.
You're over there playing D1 soccer. I'm like, yeah, I love my sorority.
You were like the treasurer, weren't you?
The secretary, Alex.
That is serious work. And you were going... You were doing your thing. And you were like... You got a boyfriend. You were going through... You were busy. You were busy drinking in Tulane, and yeah. I was busy doing my thing here.
Yeah.
So the first 2 years of college, Lauren and I were like, I don't need to talk to you. Like, we're both, like, doing our thing in college. Yeah. Love you. We'll talk.
It's fun. Like cousins where you can just pick right back off where you left off.
So junior year going into senior year, our summer specifically, we, like, started working out.
We worked out together every day.
We both were in Pennsylvania for our summer. Like, usually I would spend it in Boston. You would be in Tulane.
Yeah. So we were both in Newtown for the summer.
Losers.
So so we were hanging out every day.
Wait,
working
were you
out.
Delivering pizzas?
Yeah.
Oh my god. And
that's a whole nother story.
I almost got blackmailed with all okay.
Yeah, Alex was blackmailed.
Lauren's delivering pizzas. I jump in her car, I'm sobbing. Well, we have so many stories to tell, but let's stick to this one. So Boston. Okay.
So you're like, I need to go get my hair highlighted and fuck a guy. Do you want to come with Boston? Do you want to come to Boston with me? And I was like, yeah, that sounds really fun.
Like, so surface level. There's a quick agenda, Lauren. So we did a road trip.
I didn't really, like, know what we were getting ourselves into. And we get to Boston, and you're like, all right, like, don't worry. Like, I'll figure out plans for us. Like, I'm cooking up, like, four different options. Like, we'll pick the best option. And we were going to go hang out with but he was like, sorry, I just jumped on a helicopter to, like, whatever the fuck. And I was like,
Lauren's like, classic.
Oh, okay, like, yeah, I have friends jumping on helicopters, too. Like, same. So I didn't really know what we were getting into here. I thought we'd be doing, like, bars and college parties. And we go out, and we are literally, I don't even know who this man was. We are with this large man who had an Escalade, and we are going from place to place, skipping lines, going into clubs. I had never had bottle service before, like, having bottle service. I was like, Alex, are you the mayor of Boston? What is happening? Who are these people? Who are these athletes? And then I can't tell any more of the story because I remember nothing else.
Okay, so this is the saddest part. This was like the guy that gave me chlamydia and was a bartender.
Anthony! I remember his name.
So this guy that I started fucking in Boston, it got dark, you guys. There were certain moments where like I had to swoop in, whatever. This story goes, Lauren gets so fucked up. This guy that I start hooking up with brings Lauren back to the dorm. I proceed to go
carries my body
into the bed. I proceed to go back to Southie with him. I proceed to have sex with him, and he proceeds to give me chlamydia. That is a hard time in Boston. What? Together. Literally after that, I remember, because you brought me to Planned Parenthood when we got back to
Yeah, you're right.
We get back.
We went to Planned Parenthood in Trenton.
No, you guys. I'm in the car with Lauren. I call her at her pizza job. We get back from our craziness. We get back to PA and just something ain't feeling right.
And you're like, Lauren, I don't have a good feeling. Like, I know I didn't use a condom.
I'm like, what time do you get off your pizza shift? And Lauren's like, I'll be off in 30. I'm like,
no, you got in the car and you came on my last delivery with me. And then we went right to Planned Parenthood.
I got one more pizza to deliver. We're like in Newtown, Pennsylvania. Like
my boss, like fully was like, Lauren, you cannot just pick up friends and bring them on your pizza delivery. And I'm like, no, that is what I will do. I'm like, no, I delay the card. I'm like, I'm a girl. It's getting dark. Don't you want me to be safe?
Meanwhile, I'm like, I am fully have an itchy V. I have something wrong. I have chlamydia. Let's go. So Lauren's like, bye, sir. We get the pizza. She delivers it. All's good. You know, they gave a great tip.
We go to Trenton.
We go to Trenton, New Jersey. Why do we go to Trenton? Because we were like,
that was the closest Planned Parenthood, I think.
Well, there was one, I think, directly in our town, but I was like, I can't be seen. Yeah. Like, no one can know. And so we drive all the way to Trenton, New Jersey. We go into Planned Parenthood. I get my test, and Lauren's in the waiting room like this. How'd it go? And I'm literally like, I have fucking chlamydia and I'm waiting for my HIV test. Like, what the fuck? And Lauren's like, it's going to be okay, Al. And so we get in the car. We like went and had a drink that night and that was it. But yeah, like we, it's so crazy. Because,
but we haven't been back to Boston since.
And we haven't been back since.
And cheers to not getting chlamydia this time.
I have not had chlamydia since.
I can't.
Wait.
Oh my god.
Alex.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Some things work so well. It's basically magic. Like my favorite highlighters that I'm like, wow, how did you all of a sudden make me look glowing? And you know what else really works, Dottie Gang? Shopify. It is a global commerce platform that helps you sell. I've seen a big difference in my online merch sales. They are especially good at turning browsers into buyers. I can see someone that's been on the site but didn't check out, or someone that checked out and then is revisiting the site. Like, if you want to grow your business, Dottie Gang, sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/unwell, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/unwell.
This episode is brought to you by Rakuten. Are you ready to shop? Rakuten's Big Give Week is back. Get 15% cash back at hundreds of stores, including Headliners, Ulta, Ray-Ban, and Canon. Rakuten is how in-the-know shoppers get the best savings. They shop the brands they love and earn cash back on top of deals during Big Give Week, May 6th to May 13th. The cash back rates are even bigger. I'll be shopping for Adidas and Fenty. You can save on everything you need for summer, like clothing, outdoor gear, and travel. Join today for free and get an extra 10% cashback boost. That's an extra 10% cashback on top of Big Give Week's 15% cashback. You won't see higher cashback rates than these. Go to Rakuten.com or download the Rakuten app. Rakuten. Shoppers get it.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
That's a good question. So someone behind the camera, you know, the crowd is asking questions. Now we open
it up. We got a question. We got a question.
Jordan's asking. The question is how did I know about the athletes? So it was kind of in multiple different ways. One, because I saw my dad with the Flyers in Philadelphia, and he would
Dad wrote you a playbook. He's like, Alex, I'm going to sit you down, baby girl. Here's how you infiltrate the athlete dick.
My poor father is like, and all he said growing up is, you can never date an athlete. And I'm like, that's all you show me. Like, this is all I see, Dad. Like, it's all I want. So I kind of knew, like, they go to random bars. And so I always wanted to go to a city place because I felt like I was always like, I've always wanted to date older guys because I was just like an asshole. And I was like, I want someone to pay for things that I want to feel like, I don't know. I wanted to feel like
you were chasing it.
Yeah, I was chasing it.
You were dreaming big.
The real true point of how I actually got though involved in it is Barstool Sports when they posted me as the smoke show of the day. It changed my life because it was up for a couple hours until my coach called me and told me to take it down. And thanks. But it did enough damage. I will never forget. I was driving out of the city with Bridget to her parents' house, the goalie on our soccer team. And we were going to her parents' house and they posted me. And in that short time period, I got a lot of followers on Instagram at the time. I think I got I literally had 30,000 followers randomly as I'm like driving out to the outskirts of Boston. And I was like, holy shit, this is crazy. And that was the first time I remember an athlete DM'd me because he saw my picture there. And then all I needed was all you need is one. All you need is one. Because what happened was, once I met that one, and it was a hockey player that messaged me, I then met him with
Low budge hockey player?
it's actually interesting. Yeah, he was real low budge and he was like very giving prude energy. But I was like, if I meet him, I'll meet his teammates. And so I went and met him at a bar. And then he was with his teammates. And so naturally, I immediately homie hopped before I even fucking like touched his skin. I was like, goodbye, you're fucking nothing, but I want this one. And we immediately started to infiltrate. So it was like, if you can just find one, they come in packs. Then I infiltrated there. And then slowly, I also started to DM some. Like I would, then I got like confident enough to be like, who cares if they don't message me back?
And like knowing where to go.
Yes, that was when like I started to realize like at my time in Boston, I don't know if it's relevant anymore, but like West End Johnny's was like a sports bar that had an underground place, and like that's where I remember one night Red Sox and Bruins players were all there, and that's where I met like the Red Sox guy that I ended up having like a relationship with. But it, that kind of shit, I think you just got to go for it. And it doesn't have to be an athlete. Like, now I look back and I'm like, athletes, I mean, sure, if you're with an athlete, cool. But, like, they're all kind of, like, the fucking same. It was more just about the fun, like, thrill of the status feeling of, like, getting to go into these, like, exclusive places. Like, I just thought it was fun in college to have that. But I think advice to anyone, if you're trying to, like, get infiltrating, if you want a doctor, if you want to, wherever you, just find one. DM them shamelessly and just be like, yo, what's up? Like, I just came across your page. You're super cute. Like, you want to meet up for a drink? My girlfriends and I are going to be at blah, blah, blah tonight. And you can always keep it chill if you say, I'm going to be with my girlfriends. And if he's like, oh, none of my friends are going out tonight, cool, come meet up with us. So it's like, be aggressive. And who cares if you don't? There are so many DMs that guys like didn't fucking answer or didn't read. And I was like, okay, on to the next. But that's how it kind of started. It just like, you just have to take chances. And again, it just takes one.
Take a risk.
Take a chance, make a change, and break away. So that's that. That's, you know, Getting Dick in Boston 101 and chlamydia. So.
Well, that's a good title, Getting Dick in Boston, Sucking Dick and Getting Chlamydia in Boston.
Okay, that's the good. That's it. Cheers. Let's do a little questions of the week.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
As a plant-based cheese company, Daiya has never talked about beef in an ad before, because someone somewhere once had a beef with saying beef and plant-based together. So putting a slice of Daiya cheese on a beef burger, not okay. Well, our delicious melty cheese has a beef with your beef about beef, because any step towards plant-forward eating is a step in the right direction. Daiya, 100% plant-based, even if you're not. Now made with Daiya Oat Cream Blend.
No matter what you're looking for in a non-alcoholic beer, there's only one name that has it all. Athletic Brewing Co. Full flavor? It's athletic. Huge variety? It's athletic. Award-winning styles you can get online, at the bar, or the grocery store? It's athletic. In fact, when it comes to amazing non-alcoholic beer, there's no question. It's athletic. Ask for it and find out. Go to askforathletic.com to find your closest retailer today. Near beer.
Questions. We are going to do some questions, Daddy Gang, because as much fun as we're having over here, we want you guys to feel like you're part of this. Mm-hmm. And you guys have written questions to me. Let's put our heads together and try to help the Daddy Gang. And you know what? We're going to do our best.
I'm going to hope that you're asking me something that I've asked my therapist, and I'll just recycle her advice.
Perfect. Okay. Daddy Gang said, can we talk about age gaps? There is a guy I have liked for almost a year now who is 8 years older than me. This past spring, he reciprocated feelings and ensured me that we could be something despite our age gap. But I turned him down and I've been heartbroken since. Does age matter? I'm in my early 20s and he is almost 30. And I just worry we're in different phases of life. But why can I not stop thinking about him? Oof.
Context first. We both have age gaps. We mm-hmm. both are dating older boyfriends. Mm-hmm. Yours is more mm-hmm. significant age gap than mm-hmm. mine.
Yep. So I get the hesitation because you feel like you're in such different places. But like, for example, if you're saying you're in your early 20s, I don't know if you're in college. If you are, I could see it's a little difficult to be in college and then have a boyfriend that's like in the working world and you're trying to like go to parties and have fun, but then
I would be sad and regret if I tried to like dull out my college years to please someone.
Yes.
Like I would look back and I would be very sad about that. If I tried to be like, no, all my friends are going out, but like I don't need to go out and like I can like do this and like I'm doing it because like a certain person.
I think that's what you have to check in with yourself is like, are is the reason that you are hesitant about this person is because of actually just the age gap, just in itself, that you're like worried about the optics? Because if you're worried about the optics, who gives a fuck about the optics? I really don't think that you should overthink it. Who gives a fuck if people judge you? Half the time, if you're dating someone the same age, there's already issues in that conversation, right? If you're worried because you actually have different interests and life things, I would consider, like we said about the college thing. Well,
the college thing comes to mind, and like what also comes to mind is like, like something my boyfriend and I have felt is like, I'm at a point in my life where like my social circle and my friends, they still hang out every single weekend. Mm-hmm. And he is older and most of his friends are married. Some are having mm-hmm. children, and they're at the point in their lives where like they're hanging out once a month, once every 2 months. And can I adapt like what my social mm-hmm. social life is, and can he adapt what his social life is?
Right. I think it's about just like merging your lives and seeing if you can do it. Actually, take the age gap away. If you are going to figure out how to merge your lives, it
These
will
work.
These
are issues that are, like, come up if you're the same age.
Yeah.
How do we merge our social lives together? Do we have the same expectation yes. of a timeline?
Yes. It's all the same shit.
Yeah. These things are always a factor. They might be more exacerbated yeah. and like the differences if you're have a big age gap.
Yeah. Fuck people that are judging you. If you want to go for something, you sometimes just have to learn for yourself, and maybe you'll learn like, oh, I want something closer to my age. Or maybe you'll realize, oh, wait, I really do like the parts of his maturity that I'm leaning towards, and like figure it out for yourself. Okay. How do you get out of a codependent friendship? I live with my best friend and I love her, but our friendship has become codependent. Help, SOS. I love you. We have both had situations like this.
I would even verge to say we were like codependent for a hot sec. Maybe it was more me than you.
Lauren's like, I was really liking that couch tonight.
Yeah.
No, I think this is the thing. I personally think codependent friendships are inevitable for in moments of a period of time.
If you're going through something similar, if you're both single, if you're both, especially
moving to a new city, like just, yes, going through the same shit, because it's hard to get codependent with someone if they're in a relationship and you're single.
Yeah.
Like, you kind of have to all of a sudden be like really
synced up on like the same page.
Same fucking cycle, okay?
But I want to give that some like grace. Like, I think it's really easy to do in a friendship if
totally.
You are
if
kind
you're
of,
going step by step and stride by stride
yeah.
in life together, especially if it's in moments that you are needing someone to be there for you. Like, I don't care if, let's, for example, I was going to say out of college is hard. No, going to college and you had that one friend that you went into college with, or the one friend you immediately make in college. Like, any moment that you need a friend, that you need that support, and that person in that moment too needs it, all of a sudden you can be codependent. I think the issue becomes one person naturally will always start to pull away and mm-hmm. be like, I'm ready to fucking soar on my own. You needy ass bitch, get off my arm. Like, get the fuck away from me. And then you're saying, what do I do?
And oof. I think if like not handled properly, then that's how friendships break up.
Yes.
And I don't think they need to break up.
No. Okay, this is what I would say. You need to start, actually, as uncomfortable as it is,
saying no to things.
And also really doing things where you're actively not inviting them. I think going from codependent to then trying to get independent, you can almost feel like you're being a bitch and you're being rude, but you actually are just being a human being that's individually surviving and doing things. Like, you guys aren't attached at the hip.
I think a self-aware person will probably start to take the cues. Another person might not. So let's role play.
Okay.
We're going to be really healthy here, because we're going to address it head on. We're going to have a conversation.
Okay.
So let's imagine that this is not, might not be that hard to imagine, okay. that we're living together and we're attached at the hip.
Yep.
And we need to trail it back a bit. It's becoming to the point where it's just assumed we're going to do absolutely everything together. And we naturally and healthily, we need to have some separation. Mm-hmm. and you love me. You don't want to hurt my feelings. You're not like mad or disgusted at me, but you're like, realistically, we need to do something separately.
Yep.
All right, sit me down. What are you saying to me?
Hey, Lair, how was your day?
Good.
I know it was good because I was with you the whole day. But now, no, I would say, listen, I have been having some thoughts about, like, I've been stressed with work and I've been stressed about family stuff and I've been even stressed about, like, us together. And I'm trying to be more proactive in trying to be independent for myself, because I think sometimes you have to take accountability before mm-hmm. you're just like, you're. Yeah. So, and what I was thinking about is, like, I feel like I'm in the best way. Like, I love you so much and we're so comfortable together that I almost find myself in moments just leaning into our friendship almost too much. And it's almost like an out for me where I'm like, when's the last time, like, I asked a coworker to go get dinner? Because we get dinner all the time. I wanted to be honest with you that I think I'm going to try to actively, because our relationship is so strong. I love you so much. You're my best friend. I really want to try to start making sure that I'm nurturing other parts of my life outside of our friendship, because we're so solid that I'm like, fuck, am I just like taking the easy way out that we're always together and I'm not allowing myself to like branch out and do other things? And so I want to be upfront with you that, like, if next time you ask me to go to dinner and I'm like, oh my god, no, I love you, we're all good, it's more just because I'm like, I really want to push myself to get out of my comfort zone, make new friends at my job, go see my brother sometimes in the city, go, like, even also take some time for myself. And I wanted to be upfront with you so you don't think I'm being like weird and being like, I hate you, whatever, like, we're good. I just want to try to start doing things with for myself sometimes.
That was great. So, like, write that down, then go do that.
No, but think about that.
No, that was fantastic.
What there, nothing that I said you're doing wrong. No. Because if you're in a codependent situation, that's also on me. So I'm saying, and it's also like, sometimes you need to fucking blow smoke up their ass. I love you. We're so good. But
also think it's really fair to say, like, if you feel me saying no and pulling away, it's not because you did something or I'm mad at you. It's because I'm.
Totally. And I think sometimes what I've realized in therapy, and I know you feel this way, is like, so many times when we're so annoyed with someone, we really can't see our own shit. And every single time I ever go into a situation now moving forward in life, whether it's with a partner or family member, I always just speak from me, what I'm feeling, what I'm going through. Because when you're like, this is how the bad version would go. Hey, I feel like recently I can't really breathe. I feel like we're so attached at the hip, and sometimes, like, I just want my own thing. And I feel like it's like, if I'm going to dinner, you're coming to dinner with me. And I feel like it's like, we need space. You're always wanting to do what I'm doing. And like, I just feel like we're like in this site, like, already it's like, I'm talking to you. You're not, no, you just own it. You have to own it for yourself, because I think codependent situations are not going to get, you're not going to convince the person.
It was created together.
Yes. Take some accountability, bitch. And then you actually have to make it work, and you have to put yourself out there. Cause I think sometimes people think they want to get out of it, and then it's like, okay, go to dinner by yourself tonight. Don't sit down on the couch with her and watch TV.
And like, a quick aside that I thought of this conversation, because obviously that's not going to be an easy conversation that you're like, all right, let me sit down and like tell Alex this tonight. Like, the metaphor that I've been given by my therapist, classic.
Love it.
And use, like, before I have a difficult conversation, like, because for a difficult conversation, like, you're never going to just, like, feel, like, ready. Like, oh, I am so ready to, like, conquer this conversation.
Never.
So, like, it sounds stupid, but, like, I literally close my eyes, and she's like, imagine yourself, like, you're on, like, the high dive, like, a really fucking high dive. Like, and you have that antsy feeling in your stomach. You're never going to be like, okay, like, let me dive, I'm ready. You probably sat down, you probably wrote a few things down, you thought about that. But like, when it's time to have the conversation, you have to literally just imagine yourself flinging yourself off. I feel like I have so many more difficult conversations now, and it's because I'm not waiting to feel ready, because I'm never gonna feel ready.
Ever.
I'm just like, fuck, I have to have it, let's go.
And go. And then once you're in it, you can still feel awkward, but once you're done, you did what you needed to do. So it's like, you're gonna feel better after it. You're never gonna be like, this conversation's so easy.
And I feel like what we've gotten good at, because like, even if like we're having a difficult conversation and like you can tell me we have like a little nervous energy at the end, it's like, also like, I know I just like said some things to you, like, you can process that. And like, if you want to have a follow-up, like, let's have a follow-up. Yeah, like, we don't need to never, like, even though this was maybe a little awkward, we don't have to never not talk about it again.
Totally. And I know I'm the one coming to you with all these thoughts, so when you're feeling like you've processed this, like, knock on my door, let's talk. You got this, daddy. Okay. My boyfriend and I have been together for 4 years, and it's almost perfect in every aspect, except he doesn't like giving me head. I've explained so much how I like it and how it feels different, etc., and he still doesn't do it. The rest of the sex is good. We've used a vibrator so he's not scared of adding things in for me, but a girl needs to get regular head. How do I raise this with him so that he will actually change?
Protest.
No, literally protest. No, you know what? Something I was thinking about, there is nothing more awkward than actually bringing something up to a partner about something that you're dissatisfied with having sex.
I was just going to say the same thing.
Like, this is someone that you love and you have a respect for, and like, it is really fucking awkward to genuinely be like, you're not satisfying me in a specific way. Like, mm-hmm. and because then what the fear in my mind, because I've had this in relationships before, is then you also worry, oh my God, then is he going to then go down and do it? And it's going to be awkward because I asked him to do it and I begged him and now he doesn't even want to be doing it and you're overthinking it. And this is sex. You're supposed to be light and free and having. So it's, I empathize with anyone, whether it's you don't like the sex you're having too rough, it's too soft, your partner's not doing this, this, or this. It's fucking hard to have a conversation about your sex life of something you want to change or change. This is an add-in. Adding in is fun. That's easy. Like, oh, what if we tried this? Easy. Change telling someone you don't like what they're doing, that's fucking tough.
Yeah.
So
the positive here is that he's like down to use a vibrator. Mm-hmm. So like, I'm taking away that like he cares about you having an orgasm. What I'm curious about, and like maybe this could be a conversation, is like, does he not like going down on you because he's like insecure about his abilities? Mm-hmm. Is it something about the process that like he's like, I'm so sorry, but like I don't know, I can't, like,
does your vee smell?
Yeah, like maybe I can't, like, get over, like, the, for some reason, like, I'm so sorry and I'm so, maybe he feels so bad to say, maybe your vee does smell and he's like, I'm really sorry, but like something about like the smell or the taste, like, I'm having issues with.
Because that's what I was going to say. It's either the smell or the taste that he's maybe like.
It's two reasons. The smell or the taste.
Or he's insecure.
Or he's insecure about his abilities.
Or he's just like, if I'm sorry, but if he's grossed out by it, then like, that just is like unacceptable. Like, I feel like I've heard guys before be like, oh, I would, no, I don't fucking do that. And it's like, I feel like it's like almost like a sexuality, like, thing of like,
oh, that's simp behavior?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, like they're like, oh, like, I'm not your bitch. Like, I'm not gonna, like, yet I, it's almost like toxic masculinity of a man being like, I don't need to do that. Like, yeah, maybe. Right? It is giving misogyny. Yeah. Like, I'm not gonna go down there. Like, I'm not gonna eat a pussy.
Who was it who said that? DJ Khaled?
DJ Khaled?
DJ Khaled refuses to eat pussy.
I swear to God.
I can't type with these nails. Said he expects oral sex but won't return the favor because I don't eat pussy. Wait.
Is he saying like real men don't eat pussy?
DJ Khaled said he expects oral sex but won't return the favor because there are different rules for men. That's so misogynistic and disgusting.
Yeah.
That to me is the answer, because I feel like when I was in college, I could remember.
Okay, yeah, that's also a thing, like something to put out there. Like, if he's giving you, like, okay, so we said, like, oh, what are the two? We were giving the nice benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Maybe there's some hygiene issues that we got to work on together. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's insecure about his ability. Maybe
he's a misogynistic
asshole. If he says anything, like, well, like, guys don't eat pussy, or like real men, like.
You say another one. Okay, DJ Khaled, go fuck yourself.
If he is giving the vibe of like,
DJ,
well,
Khaled?
If he is giving the vibe of, well, girls do that to guys, but guys don't do that to girls.
It's over.
No.
I think you say, oh, okay, equality. Okay.
So it starts with him not going down on you, and then it ends with what's even more misogynistic.
He doesn't let you work.
Yeah. And then he tells you you can't vote in the next election.
He tells you you can't vote.
And he says, get in the kitchen with the children. You can't drive. Get in the back seat.
This is where it's going. This, I love this girl literally is going to go to her boyfriend, and her boyfriend's going to be like, oh, babe, like, I just, like, I'm so bad at it.
Meanwhile, we're
like,
he's got a shame.
You're dating.
You're a misogynist.
Fuck. And he is DJ Khaled, and he will never respect you, and you can't vote in next year's election. Like, this is huge, girl. Like, we got to move on. Like, we don't care about this shit. Get out.
Voting rights.
Voting rights. autonomy over our bodies. Autonomy for you to eat this pussy, bitch.
We can call this episode if he's not going down on you.
He's a misogynistic fuck. That's it.
Yeah. Good night.
Good night. Goodbye.
This episode is brought to you by DoorDash. Want $0 delivery fees? Try Dash Pass by DoorDash. Daddy gang, I love being home. I love to be cozy, comfortable, laying on the couch. I can't tell you how many times I need something, but I am too lazy to get up and get out of the house. And sometimes I need food or groceries, you name it. Dash Pass gets it delivered right to my door and yours too. It is only $9.99 a month, so I think it's a really good deal, Daddy Gang. So get $0 delivery fees on eligible orders with Dash Pass, and new members get a 30-day free trial. Terms apply. Sign up today.